Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
I want to share with you tonight a few things that's just been on my heart. And, you know, I often think about different items and different things. I'm right now working on my master's, and one of the cool things that I learned is that I get to read all these awesome books. I get to learn about all these awesome things. And tonight I've entitled my message, One Stone at a Time. All right? One stone at a time. Now, I don't know if you've ever built anything, but most likely you have. All right? You've either built a dollhouse, or you've built some Legos, or you made some mud and you built something like a sandcastle, or you made something out of paper mache when you were a little kid, but you've built something. Maybe you put together a bookcase or you put together a bookshelf, but there was always a process that went into that. And how many times have you walked into a situation where you had to go ahead and fix something that had been destroyed? Maybe you had a little brother or a little sister, and they came along, and you walked into your room, and all of a sudden your Barbie's heads were ripped off because the little brother got a hold of them and chewed them off. And you're like, how do I fix this? How do I rebuild this? How do I make this right? And you realize you couldn't, and your mom had to go out and get you one, right? Okay? You know, maybe when you were little, or maybe when you were older, somebody took something apart that you didn't want them to take apart, and then you had to rebuild it, put it back together again, you know? Well, a lot of times we have to do that. Life is in a constant state of building and rebuilding. And right now, our church is in the process of building and rebuilding. And we go through a cycle of this, okay? But you have to start one stone at a time, right? When you build a wall, when you set something up, you have to start one brick, one stone, one thing at a time. And each one of us really is one brick, one stone in the things that Christ is building. Now, Christ is building something in the greater Lansing area. And he's using you, and he's using me. Now, he's going to use you differently than he does me, but he's building something. And we have a choice whether or not we're going to allow ourselves to be used or we're not. I mean, it comes down to that. Our vision statement for our church is to authentically serve Greater Lansing and beyond with the mission of Jesus. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Because authentic means authentic, right? It means real. Honest, genuine, decent. So let's take a moment to pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray that we would authentically make you known. I pray that we would be authentic in our relationships with our friends. We wouldn't be fake. That we wouldn't be surreal. That we wouldn't be passive aggressive. We wouldn't be a jerk. But Lord Jesus, when we speak to people, we would truly love them and love you. And you would empower us so that we might be able to build on what you've already done in their lives. In your name. Amen. I want to read you this story of one of these books I've been reading, and it's a pretty powerful thing. And the scripture is Nehemiah 4:6. It goes like this. We kept at it, repairing and rebuilding the wall. The whole wall was soon joined together and halfway to its intended height because the people had a heart for the work. The people had a heart for the work. Nehemiah was an amazing man. He was heartbroken because his city, his capital city, was in ruins. The wall that protected his city was in ruins, and it was destroyed, and his heart was broken for this. So he took his life in his own hands, and he went to his king, and he said, I would like to go back and be someone who can make a difference. I would like to go back and bring back the honor to my capital city. Bring back the honor to Jerusalem. He wanted to bring it back. The honor had been taken away and it had been lost, and he wanted to bring it back. And his king said, yes. Through a work of God, the king said, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you go back. Not only that, I'm going to help you get there. I'm going to bless you and I'm going to help you get there. We often seek to do big things for God rather than the small things that oftentimes are right in front of us. And Nehemiah wasn't planning on building some great kingdom. He wasn't planning on rebuilding the entire city. He simply wanted to put one stone at a time on top of each other. That's what he wanted to do. But he knew he was going to need help, and he knew he was going to have to genuinely serve other people and genuinely be connected with other people. He knew in his heart of hearts that that was what was going to have to happen. And if it didn't happen, Nehemiah was going to fail. Everything was going to fall apart. Like I said, we often seek to do big things for God rather than the small things that might be right in front of us. How many times have you had something right in front of you that you didn't even realize was there? Now, I have a son like this who's not in the room. I have a younger son, and my younger son constantly will look at me and say, "I don't see what you're talking about." And we will sit there and say, "It's right in front of you." I'm sure nobody in this room has ever experienced that. I'm sure your parents have never said that to you, or you've never said that to your brother or your sister. It's right in front of you. How many times does God say that to us? That the person that we're called to serve, the thing that we're called to do, is actually right in front of us, but oftentimes we're so busy doing other things that we don't see the thing that is right in front of us to do. Nehemiah saw that the walls needed to be rebuilt one stone at a time, and that he was being asked by God to do that. You see, Nehemiah found the status quo unacceptable. He wasn't happy with the condition of his city. He wasn't happy with the condition of the people. He wasn't happy with the morality of the people, where the people were spiritually. He wasn't happy with the fact that God was being dishonored in the community. He wasn't happy with the fact that people felt deplorable and sad and lost and lonely. And I hope you are not happy or satisfied that there are people who live around you who are broken and hurting. In this area of the world, and maybe that's you. Maybe you showed up here tonight broken and hurting, but you got your walls up almost as if you're trying to protect yourself from some kind of virus, and you're not going to let anybody in. You might let them in a little bit, but not too much. And maybe you came here tonight going, "Well, I'm not going to talk to anybody, or I'm not going to be involved in anybody, or I'm going to be involved, but I'm going to be involved about this much." You know, there's people around us who are hurting, and oftentimes we just don't see because we've accepted the status quo. We go to school, keep our head down, stare at the concrete. People write notes on the concrete so you can actually see, you know, what they're trying to say to you. I was one of those kids in school. I was one of those kids who always looked down. I was one of those kids who struggled to look up. I remember my freshman year, I struggled to be able to pay attention to what was going on because I was so nervous about what everybody thought of me. I was so scared and nervous. My freshman year, I remember struggling because it was my first year being a Christian. It was my first year after I'd asked Jesus into my life, and I didn't know how to act, how to be, how I should be, and I was nervous and I was scared that I was going to somehow let Jesus down. Like I didn't understand that there was grace for me, and if I made mistakes, that God would forgive me. If I treated people wrong, I didn't know how, and so I tried to be perfect, and that didn't work out so well because I'm not perfect. And any of you who've gotten to know me just a little tiny bit know I'm not perfect. But oftentimes we sit back and go, "Well, I just got to be careful. I just got to have it figured out." And I remember being a Christian and my first year going, "Well, what am I going to do, Lord?" And at my school, when you were a transfer student, all the folks built a wall around you. And I made this mistake of walking through the senior commons as a freshman. And I walked through the senior commons as a freshman, and they built a wall around me, but it wasn't a good wall. And then they threw somebody in there so that we would fight. But now I know Jesus. See, before I'd just swing away. But now I know Jesus. So what do I do? And my foster parents didn't tell me what to do in this situation. So what do I do? And there's 40 people around me going, "Fight, fight, fight, fight." And they've created a wall around us, but it's not a good wall. And I'm like, "What do I do? What do I do?" And you know what? When I get nervous, I start to laugh. I'm like, "Whoa, don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me." Because I'm like, "What do I do now? Now that I'm a believer? Does this person need Jesus?" All these things popping in my head, and I'm like, "Okay, what do I do? What do I do?" The kid couldn't hit me. Because I'm fast and I move, and I used to be fast. And I'm like, "Okay, fine, 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 fine." And finally, he got frustrated, and he left the circle, and everybody cheered, "Yay!" And nobody got hurt. And I said, "Is that the way I'm supposed to deal with this? Because now I'm a believer in Jesus. What do I do?" It was a different kind of wall, and I didn't know how to deal with it. You know, you build things one stone at a time in relationships. And you know that guy That was the beginning of a relationship. I didn't even think about it at the moment. But you know what? He was a kid who went to church, but he wasn't a Christian. And he respected the fact that I didn't try to swing back at him. And within the next year, he started telling me, well, I'll go to this church. And I'm like, great. I said, you know, can I pray with you? And I'm a freshman, and he's a senior. And I'm like, oh, who starts a relationship when somebody's trying to hit you? One stone at a time. So one conversation at a time, and by the end of the year, we're going to a Bible study group together, and we're praying together. This is a kid who was looking to hit me and knock me out. And then he's like, man, I'm praying for you. And I'm like, you're praying for me. At the beginning of the year, you wanted to hit me. One stone at a time, our relationship began to be built, and it began to change. And it's a small thing, but God can begin to change us. Remember, we're called to authentically serve Greater Lansing and beyond with the mission of Jesus. Well, who's called? Who have you been called to serve? Maybe it's the kid who tried to take a swing on you. Maybe it's the kid who, you know, was rude to you in the hallway. Maybe it was the person who mocked you, made fun of you, hurt your feelings. I want to read you this story. It kind of goes like this. I don't know if you've ever thought about going on a missions trip, but when you go on a trip outside of your home, things begin to change and you begin to see people differently. This is a guy named Richard Stearns, and he works for an organization called World Vision. And he had an experience overseas in India. He said, decades after the Babylonians had destroyed the holy city, the great wall surrounding Jerusalem still laid in ruins. Well, to Nehemiah, this, of course, was a disgrace in the eyes of God, and it made him sad. When he heard about these things, he sat down and he wept. For some days, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. Well, then he embraced a vision to do the impossible. He would lead the Jews in rebuilding the Great Wall and give honor to God by restoring the symbol of God's greatness. As the president of World Vision, I can relate to large and daunting problems like the one Nehemiah faced. 2 billion people in the world living in desperate poverty, and nearly 20,000 children under the age of 5 needlessly die every single day. Trying to quote-unquote save the world can be overwhelming and discouraging. But God gave me a different perspective on this through a 6-year-old boy named Vikas. It was the last day of a trip that I had to India, just after an earthquake. In the very last village that I visited, as we were driving away, a desperate and pleading mother ran up to the window of my car. The driver kept going, but I had just enough time to see her holding a little boy with no feet. And then they were gone. That image burned itself into my mind, and when I returned home, I couldn't get it out of my head. I'd been trying to facilitate help for thousands of people who had been affected by the earthquake, but the Lord seemed to be showing me this one little boy. A few emails and a few weeks later, World Vision India located Vikas. I learned that his legs had been crushed in the earthquake, and it would cost about $300 for surgery and prosthetic limbs. Just $300. I felt convicted that I should pay for this because I knew that seeing Vikas was no accident. Clearly, God had shown this little guy to me. And even though tens of thousands of victims needed help, I knew they would all have to be helped one at a time. Nehemiah understood that great walls are repaired just one stone at a time. So he organized the people to each do their part. Above the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each in front of his own house. The impossible task of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem was completed in 52 days because each person tackled the section of the wall that laid right in front of him. A few months later, I received an email from India with a photograph of little Vikas smiling and standing on his brand new legs. Oswald Chambers once wrote, "The great hindrance in spiritual life is that we will look for the big things to do." But Jesus took a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet. God's heart is broken today over the ruins of poverty, injustice, and suffering right in front of us and all around the world. Do we weep for those who suffer just as Nehemiah wept for Jerusalem? We shouldn't stop there. We should act. What section of the wall has God placed in front of you? John 15:5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nehemiah recognized that apart from God, he was unable to secure any sort of victory. He was unable to make things right. He was unable to fix the issues in his country. He was unable to fix the issues in his city. But with God, he knew all things were possible. We call that now people becoming the church. See, it's impossible for somebody to know God apart from God helping us to understand. You look at your friends and your neighbors and people who don't know God, and you think of the brokenness in their life, and you say, well, how do I reach them, Lord? What do I do? It seems impossible. But when people become the church, the impossible becomes possible. When we have a relationship with each other, we build, we pray for one another, we reach out, we love people when other people don't. That's people becoming the church. That's you being part of God's plan. That's you making a difference. That's you building one stone upon one stone upon one stone upon one stone. I want to read John 13 to you, 1 through 17. The scripture says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Think about that for a moment. Jesus was getting ready to love Judas Iscariot right to the end, the person who would betray him, and he would turn him in. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothes, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter. You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you can have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that is why he said not everyone was clean. As you continue to read the scripture, you find out what Jesus did. But the scripture says that he went ahead and he washed people's feet. And oftentimes, God gives us things to do. He provides things for us. He leads us to Jesus, and we come to meet him. And he gives us tasks, and he gives us people right in front of us to be able to bless and to be able to serve. But oftentimes, we're so excited and we're great at cheering. We're great at saying, God, you're awesome. God, you're amazing. God, I love you, God. God is awesome. And we forget that God has given us a testimony and a vision so that I might be able to wash other people's feet. I might be able to serve other people around me. I might be able to become humble. I might be able to not be prideful. But so many times we're so busy going, yeah, God, I love you, God, I love you, God, which is great. But our towels aren't dirty. You know, I know when somebody has given their life to Jesus and they say, you know what, I want to serve, I want to go all out. Because I look at their life and they've done something with it. And they've connected with people and they've made a difference. And what they've been given has been used. And it doesn't look the same. It doesn't smell the same. But you know what? The purpose of this is not to be pure and clean and never touched. The purpose of this is to be used to clean something else. And you have friends, you have relatives, you have people who need to know Jesus, like maybe you did. You know? And you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. But God is saying, hey, I've put something in your hand so you might use it to serve others. Now, what does he put in your hand? What has he given you? He's given you a testimony. He's given you the ability to say, you know what? I think God is real. He's given you time. How many times do you go to the grocery store? How many times do you go to Starbucks? How many times do you go to class? How many times do you see the same people day in and day out? Do you know their names? Do you pray for them when you go through the grocery store line? What do you do with what God has given you? Because the purpose of this is not to just be perfect and nice and great and wonderful. God has given you a testimony. He's given you a purpose. And it's to go and help others figure out, how do I become clean? How do I find this Jesus that you know? There's a big difference. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do it one stone at a time. We don't try to take over the entire world for Jesus. We don't have to. Jesus died on a cross for that. He rose again for that. Our job is to simply tell. Anybody who'll listen. Who's going to listen to you? Probably the person that you don't think is going to listen to you. It always works that way. Let me clue you in. The person you don't think will listen to you, the person who wants to swing on you and take you out, might be the person who you're most supposed to tell about Jesus. You're like, well, Pastor Joe, I'm going to try that, and I'm going to get punched in the face. You get punched in the face for Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. The least I can do is get punched in the face for him. I mean, you know, I've gotten to a place in my life where I'm like, I'm good. If I get punched in the face because I tell somebody about Jesus, I'm good. I'm good. I can do that. Jesus died on the cross for me. No problems. No issues. You know, we are supposed to, as a church, have things we value. And one of the things that we have that we value is an outward focus. And an outward focus is one of our 8 core values of this church. And it says this, the arrows of our hearts must be pointed outward. We actively share in Christ's mission to reach those outside of the faith. That's part of what it means to be a church. To actively participate. I was talking with one of our volunteers here in Rage, and they were telling me, you know, I said, I've noticed that it's like every week, it's like 2 or 3 new kids, 2 or 3 new kids come, 2 or 3 new kids. Yeah, we have a group of inviters here, don't we? That's something God has given you. I know youth groups that aren't like that. I grew up in one for a period of time. How do you make a difference? Well, one stone at a time. One person at a time. Oh, Pastor Joe, I want to do these great things for Jesus. Awesome. Take care of things one thing at a time. Don't put so much pressure on yourself to be perfect, to be awesome, to be amazing. If you simply serve, eventually, everything that God gives you, you will be able to use for his glory. And those around you will be clean because they've met Jesus. They've given their heart to him. They've taken a step closer to him because you've simply shared the love of God. I want that for you guys. Not because I want our church to be amazing and huge and great and powerful, but simply because I know there are people who need Jesus and they live next door to us. They go to school with us. They're in our grocery stores. And last I checked, everybody in Holt doesn't know Jesus. Everybody in East Lansing doesn't know Jesus. Everybody in Lansing doesn't know Jesus. Everybody in Hazlitt definitely doesn't know Jesus.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.